happy Mother's Day to you this morning. God is so good to us with His plan of mother and father, but especially mother. Mother is wonderful. Before we get going this morning, I'd like to say that number one, I found it just a little rough preparing a Mother's Day message. I'll just be honest with you. You know, and it's not because Scripture lacks examples of mothers to preach on, but it's because my first couple impulses kind of resulted in this tie between the woman from Proverbs 31 and Mary, the mother of Jesus. So I did what I usually do in case of a tie, and I went for none of the above. Now, whether you're a mother or a daughter or a father or a son or none of the above, and that's kind of a tough one to pull off, we're blessed to have you worshiping with us this morning. I do want to honor mothers this morning with our message, and before we get going too much further, I want to also add to what's been set up here before. There are a couple special ladies in my life out there, up here near the front. My wife and my mom, they're both here this morning, and I just thank the Lord for both of you two women. So He knew what I needed, so love you guys so much. But this morning, whether you fall into the category of mother or not, I pray that you'll be able to take something from the message. So let's dig in this morning. We're going to look at the second chapter of Exodus. We're going to look at verses 1 to 10. Would you turn there with me, please? We'll look at this little story together. Verse 1. Now, a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water." Surprise! Our text this morning focuses on the mother of Moses. So there's the story. But let's dig in deeper on this Mother's Day. She may not be identified by name in this text, but Exodus 6:20 gives her name as Jochebed. Our sermon title this morning is A Trusting Mother. Now, how was Jochebed a trusting mother, and how can her story speak to all of us together this morning? I'd like to offer 3 ways. Number one, our trust in God must surpass our circumstances, including the ones that are heartbreaking. Including the ones that are heartbreaking. Remember, this mother let her baby go when he was 3 months old. Circumstances for this mother and baby were heartbreaking indeed. You see, if we back the story up a little bit, remember in the first chapter of Exodus, Joseph and his family ended up in Egypt for several generations. They were in peace there. And then in Exodus 1, verse 8, it says that there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. This Pharaoh began using the descendants of Abraham, the Jews, as slaves for these massive building projects. There were so many people coming up in the land, the Egyptians began fearing them. So Pharaoh had ordered the death of all the males. In Exodus 1:22, Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every son that is born to the Hebrews you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live." Don't you love how the older sister is the one that God uses to carry the action in our story this morning? Isn't that kind of cool? Despite these heartbreaking circumstances. And don't you find it kind of ironic, just as an aside, that Pharaoh had all this fear and an uprising of all these Hebrew males, and here comes this little girl on the sidelines. You know, if only he knew, right? Going back to this mother, she trusted God despite these circumstances surrounding her precious baby boy. Can you imagine it? Can you imagine this kind of trust? Someone has said, mothers begin saying goodbye to their children from the moment they are born. But can you imagine it happening at 3 months old? That's 3 months of a feeding, 3 months of holding, 3 months of rocking, staying up to ease the child, and then having to give the child up because, you know, it's just a little difficult to keep a 3-month-old baby from making him or herself known. Just a little hard to do that. And this is, of course, after you've carried this child, given birth to this child. Now, I'm not a mother, believe it or not. But I am a dad. And I do know what it was like 10 days into the life of our baby, Isabella. 10 days after she was born, to be in the hospital with her, terrified of our circumstances with the child because she's carrying a fever, her little body is even beginning to go into what they call septic or shutting down mode because of a kidney infection. It's a little scary. And I can't imagine what that feeling was like for my wife. My wife's quite a woman, you know that? She puts up with me, and that's incredible itself. But she trusts God. And sometimes our trust in God's got to surpass our circumstances, what's going on. Sometimes we have to build that basket of trust and place our 3-month-old child or our 10-day-old child or our 18-year-old child or our full-grown child in it, in the name of the Lord. In the arms of the Lord, excuse me. Now, please don't misinterpret my words this morning. I'm not saying that if you're trying to follow God and you have a small child and you don't know what to do, take it to the Nile. Just throw the baby in there. I'm not saying that. But sometimes, in other ways, we have to give up something. Sometimes we have to give up someone that means a whole lot to us, because we just can't do anything more for them. But God can. God can. You see, these were painful circumstances, but Jochebed was married to Amram, Exodus 6:20, a Levite. You know who they put their trust in? God. God Almighty. So they took their child, they put the child in the river. Can you imagine what was going through the mind of this mother as she watched her baby float away from her? Our trust in God must surpass our circumstances. He's a whole lot bigger. Secondly, our trust in God must go beyond our logic. It must go beyond our understanding to our taking rest in His presence. This young mother trusted God in that she allowed her baby, now get this, she allowed her baby to be taken by the very people who had put her in the predicament of letting the baby go. Catching up to our story, Pharaoh's daughter comes down to the Nile River to bathe. According to one scholar, this was for the ancient Egyptians what the Ganges River is for the Hindus. It was a ceremonial thing. She sees the basket. She sends the helper to retrieve it. She sees it's a baby. She sees it's a Hebrew. You bet she can notice that it's a boy. The baby's sister has the perfect plan. Doesn't she? Verse 7, shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the girl went and called the child's mother. Well, it's a perfect plan because it's what any big sister would do, right? Playtime's over. Where's mom? Heard that one a few times. No, God was present. God was present, wasn't he? Think about it. One commentator asked the following question. It's very interesting. Why is it Joseph had just happened to put the baby in the right spot on the Nile? Why is it Pharaoh's daughter just happened to see the basket? Why is it the child just happened to be crying at the time? And I'd like to add this. Why is it the one person who happened to have just the right amount of influence in Egypt took pity on the one baby boy that her father would have been probably the most interested in finishing off out of all the baby boys in Egypt, had he known? God works. God is working. God is working beyond our logic, beyond our understanding. What we often experience, we call mere coincidences. This is instances of God busy behind the scenes. How great is our God? Here is a definite sequence of events from Scripture of a beautiful example of what can happen when we put our trust in our great God. You know, while my wife was a trusting mother of God just a short time into the life of our little Isabella, you know, she didn't understand what the Lord was doing behind the scenes. We still don't, and we may not ever see all that the Lord is doing behind the scenes or among in and despite the painful events of our life. But he's still God. We can be rest assured of that. He is still God. He is still our infinite, perfect God. And we're inside the timeline of a finite, broken world. Which of these do we cling to? Did it make sense for Pharaoh's daughter to end up with the baby boy when Pharaoh was out killing baby boys? No. No, it didn't. Does it make sense that God allows what God allows to us and in our families and to our baby girls and our baby boys, whether they're 3 months old or 47? No. No, often it doesn't. But if you notice, God took care of what was his, didn't he? Our trust in God must go beyond our logic, must go beyond our understanding, must go beyond what we see and know to rest in his presence. And third, this trust in God, our trust in God must be complete. It must surpass all else. This is the interesting part of the story to me, the most interesting part. It's important for us to note that this mother trusted God in honoring her original agreement to the baby's new family after she nursed the baby. Isn't that interesting? Verse 9, Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And isn't it an amazing turn of events? So imagine this period of having the child, nursing the child, a couple of years maybe. You know, my guess is Joseph didn't have those open and add water, match 3 scoops to 6 ounces feeding arrangements like we've used at home for the kids. And it works really great because moms, you can wake dad up at any hour of the night and he can worry about feeding time. You don't have to. My wife figured that out 4 days into Emmy's life. Dads can be moms too. Goodbye, 2 a.m. Hello, Mr. Infamil. Imagine this mom putting as much thought, as much information, as much nurturing into this toddler Moses before he was Moses, according to Scripture. When she brings back Pharaoh's daughter, that's actually when he gets that name, verse 10. She's doing all this cramming because she knows she has a bargain to keep. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? She knows. And you know what? She keeps her end of it. She keeps her end of it. What would you do? What would you do if you were in her situation? Well, we got him back. We worked the system. Pharaoh didn't kill him. We got our break. Let's cut our losses. Get out of here. You know, maybe God will part the Red Sea for us or something. You know? No. 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 She saw the day coming when she would have to let go of her little baby boy. She'd already let go of him one time. But now this would probably be for good. She had trusted that God would take care of her baby, watch over him, protect him, bring him up somehow. And he did all these things in part by bringing him back to her. But this would be the true test of her faith. This was going to be the real deal, the whole enchilada, the moment of surrender. Have you ever gained anything back only to have to give it up again? Have you ever gained anyone back only have to give them up again? How did you respond? Did you fight it or did you give in? Did you let your trust in God be complete? Because this young mother could have taken a slightly more broken human route. She could have. She could have hit the road with her toddler. But no, Exodus 2:10. She brought him back. He became her son. And the rest, as the saying goes, is history chronicled in God's word. Moses. Moses was only the man by which God brought redemption to these people at this point in Egypt. Moses was only the man by which God gave the law. Moses was only the man by which the foundation of our Bible came into being. I've asked this question a couple times from the pulpit, but I'd like to ask it again. Did you see what God did there? And it all started with a trusting mother who had a faith in the Almighty. Imagine that scene with me back at the palace in Exodus 2:10. Can you imagine her faith as the mother of this toddler child she'd lost, came back in a relationship? Can you imagine that faith being big enough to say at that point, here you go, he's yours. I'm stepping back. I trust in the Lord. Can we have a faith where we are today in our relationships and in our relationship with God that when the time comes for us to say, here you go, he's yours, she's yours, I'm stepping back, I trust in the Lord. Can we do it? It's not easy to be a trusting mother. Or a trusting father, brother, son, or friend, or anything else for that matter. We will be tempted to continually bring these situations back to us, back to our feelings, time and time again. But our trust in God must surpass us in our feelings. Our trust in God must be bigger than anything else, or else is it really trust in our God? That's hard. Hebrews 11, the 11th chapter of Hebrews, verse 23 says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. For their faith, the parents of Moses are commended in this who's who chapter of Scripture, you might call it. Back to our text. What do we see? We see that God was faithful through the whole process. How else could so many, quote, coincidences just, quote, happen to work out that way? A friend of mine once told me, you know, God is in the details. He's already gotten all this figured out, all these little things that you're worried about and sitting there stewing about. He's just waiting for you to catch up to what he's been doing. I love that. I agree. How often has God already brought so many things together, so many details together in our midst, and he's just waiting for us to catch up to what he's already been doing, what he's been doing long before we got there. Moses was in the best of circumstances when his mother seemed it was the very last resort. Matthew Henry writes, "Moses never had a stronger protection, no. Not when all the Israelites were round his tent in the wilderness, than now, when he lay alone, the helpless babe upon the waters. No water, no Egyptian can hurt him. When we seem most neglected and forlorn, God is most present with us. And most present he continues to be today." See, we may not understand all or most or even some of all that's happening to us and around us, but if it helps, just remember that this young mother never saw her son as editor or major character of a worldwide best-selling book or two either. But that happened. And it was no surprise to God when that took place. You see, despite our circumstances, beyond our logic lies a complete trust for the Lord. And it's the kind of trust that we exhibit when we give up what's precious to God, like a baby basket was for one Hebrew mother. She wanted the best for baby. God was the best for baby. And God was faithful to her because she recognized that. Happy Mother's Day. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, I thank you. I thank you for your gift of mothers. I thank you for your plan, your blueprint for the family. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings of these to all of us. And Lord, no matter who we are, no matter where we've been, no matter the hard circumstances that we've been through, involving our mothers or involving our daughters, perhaps, I thank you, Lord, that you are still there, you are faithful, you love us. You've loved us so much. And you've shown that through us, to us through your word. Lord, I pray this morning and every morning that we would have a faith like the mother of Moses. That we would have a complete trust in you so that we may let go of the things that are precious to us. And trust, Lord, that you will take care of them. Whether it's a person, whether it's a place or a thing, Lord, you have a plan for our surrender. And so I pray, Lord, that we have the courage to give everything up to your perfect will. Above all, Lord, I thank you for your love shown in your mercy and your grace to us through Jesus. And it is in his name I pray these things. Amen. We're so blessed. We're so blessed because of God's plan for us and God's plans through us. And this morning, if you've never made Jesus part of your plans, we'd like to invite you forward at this time. If you'd like to come, if you'd like to be immersed into him, if you'd like to say, "I trust you, Lord. I trust you. I give up everything. I give up everyone. I give up all that's dear to me for you." Now's your time to do that. We'd like to invite you forward as we stand and sing hymn 329, "The Savior is Waiting."